All right, so I'm Jaden Tobias, and I'm a student at the West Campus. Today we are interviewing
Arnis
Villasana, and he is an ESL student at the Northeast Campus. And today, and the focus of this interview is how life has been from transitioning from home to the Americas. And this interview will last about 25 minutes or so, and this recording will be archived in the Oklahoma State University Archives in the Oral History Project collection. So, you doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
So, before we get started into like some of the questions, what I like to ask is like, do you have like a specific role model? Because I think that can kind of give like, kind of gives like your questions like a deeper meaning. If you have like a specific role model or a person that you look up to.
Can you rephrase that? I mean, it's just, you want me to ask, to answer really, mm-hmm. or?
Yeah, you can answer anything you say. So it's, is there any person that like you look up to that you kind of like admire, like you want to be like?
Oh, okay. From my country, from family?
Yeah, and
it's kind of difficult to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But yes, my father, yeah.
Father,
yeah.
Is he still with us? If you don't mind me
asking. No. He passed away 9 years ago already. So, but it's okay. You can listen. I mean, you can ask whatever. I mean, it's okay. No problem.
I just want to make sure I'm not like making you feel uncomfortable.
No. It's okay. No, there's no problem. I mean, I know that it's an interview, and I'm ready to answer any question you ask me, because it's something that for me is, there's no problem. I mean, you feel free to ask what you need or whatever you want.
All right. So, what exactly part of this part of South America are you from?
I'm from Venezuela. Venezuela is to the north of South America. It's just to with the close to these countries, Brazil, Colombia, and I'm from northeast of the Venezuela.
Okay.
I'm from Anzoátegui, as I told you, and specifically from Puerto La Cruz, as a city in Anzoátegui.
So the part that you're from, is it kind of like a city, or is it kind of like a town?
Or that's a city.
It's a city.
Yeah, you can find. I mean, it's not a town like you say. That it's far from some important things, but it's really, I mean, it's a big city. We have a lot of things, industries, and.
Okay.
And it's a touristic city.
Like a futuristic?
No, touristic. Everybody
touristic. Tourists. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's the weather there? I would assume it's kind of hot most of the time?
Yeah, most of the time it's hot. And you can find, most of the time it's hot, even during the day or during the night. But it's really cool. I mean, sometimes the weather is great because we're close to the sea, and we get a lot of wind, windy days. And after May until December, you get rainy days a lot. But most of the year is pretty hot, like it is today. Yeah,
I never thought about being so close to the sea that you'd get all that wind without, like, you know, all the obstructions of hills and just, you know.
There's a question you're asking?
No, I was just saying, I never thought about, like, the fact that you guys would have, like, quite a bit of wind because the sea, so there's nothing blocking the wind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that region where I come from, you can find little mountains, because it's different, how you call that, we live.
Terrains?
No, I mean terrain. Yeah. So sometimes you can feel like there's no wind at all, but when you get closer to the sea, because not all the city is close to the sea, mm-hmm. you can find that windy region. I mean, it's a place that, that you can feel wind, wild wind all day. I mean, so.
Are the winds pretty strong?
Around 3 to 11 is really, really strong, wild wind. I mean, you can have your umbrella or something like that because it's going to be...
Fly off.
Yeah, it really, but it's really cool. I mean, that part of the beach, mm-hmm. we have a really nice place to walk and like... you can see there and watch the sunset. Mm. It's really nice. I will show you a picture if I find a couple of names.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I would love to see a picture. So did you always live in Venezuela?
Or yeah.
You lived there your whole life?
I lived all my life in Venezuela, and then I moved here to the United States. I lived there in 3 years. No, more than 28 years. I've been living here for 3 years, almost 3 years.
What was your goal of moving here? Like, what was the reason?
There is a lot of, I mean, when you're out of the United States and you move to the United States, you have different goals in life. I mean, you have the best moment when you live in your country because you want a new life or have a better life. Mm-hmm. And after you got here, you started to feel like you can do more and get another goal in life. So mm-hmm. when I was leaving my country, I was saying like, hey, I want to have something better. I mean, something like have the chance to live better. Mm-hmm. And when I arrived here, I started to adapt first, and later I started to think, what can I do? I mean, maybe get a degree, a master degree or PhD, have a family, get a house, a better job, learn English, get my highest level in English. So it's different. I mean, you can ask in a specific situation or topic and I'll tell you, hey, mm-hmm. this is... But basically that, I mean, have a better life and get family. You know, so that's basic things.
Basic things.
Yeah.
So did you move here just by yourself? Or...
Mm-hmm. I came here because there were a process that the government created mm-hmm. that is called parole, and which I came with my sister because I have an uncle in Florida and he was my sponsor to move to the United States, and later I moved to Oklahoma. But I'm living here and my sister is here too.
Okay, so did you guys go to Florida first and then came here?
Exactly. Oh, okay. We lived there like 4 months, and when we got the employment authorization, we moved to Oklahoma.
Okay, what do you do for work right now? Are you part-time or full-time?
Right now, I'm not working.
You're not working?
I'm just trying to... I'm studying in English and waiting for employment authorization over again to start working. So I'm taking advantage of my free time.
Okay, so whenever you move states, you have to get another employment authorization?
Yes, exactly. For that every specific? Time, I mean, when you move here and you want to work, but your immigrant, you have to ask for employment authorization. That's the law. That's the legal form being working. So normally you have to ask for employment authorization to the USCIS system. And later they allow you to work and you can find any job, whatever you want to do.
Do you have anything like a specific that you feel like a certain type of field that you would want to go into, or are you still trying to work that out for yourself?
Yeah, I would like to get manufacturing industry. Mm-hmm. I was working before I started to learn English over again. I was working in a manufacturing company. They were building and assembling designated outdoor air conditioning systems. So it was really, really cool experience. Also, it was a nice job. Mm-hmm. But my work permit expired, so I had to stop for a while, and I'm taking advantage. Learning English, improving my English. Mm-hmm.
So what is the education system like over there? Like, is it kind of similar?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. But here I realized that it's more... There is a flexibility because just here the system is separating in different... I mean, you can get an associate and your bachelor, master and PhD. That's for the university. I mean, before that, you get to high school. It's a lot of years, I mean, since that you're a child. But it's basically the same. But the thing is that it's free. Mm. You don't have to pay for studying at university. The only thing that you have to be good at and get good grades before university at high school. Mm. And that's it. Basically, that's it. The only thing is that the system is in Spanish, so you don't learn English. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to. I mean, it's designed for our country. I mean, speak Spanish, speaking countries, and I mean, it's really good. What else would you like to know about the system?
So do you guys basically focus kind of like on the same things, like for like studies? Because I didn't know how old you were at the start, so I didn't know if like you're 19, but so I guess you don't really have experience or like around high schools in America. So for your studies, do you guys mainly just focus on like, you know, reading, math, and like history, but Spanish history?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like since you are in the kindergarten, you've been taught almost everything. I mean, the child start to the first steps for reading, for writing, and math. Since you are you're a child. After that, at high school is, I believe it's kind of hard moment because you will receive everything. I mean, readings and writing, how you call it, literature? I think is the word. Math. Yeah.
What is that?
Chemistry. I mean, when you... How you learn about English, the same way we do, but with Spanish. Mm-hmm. We have to learn all the grammatical things of Spanish since we are starting the high school. And later, it's getting harder. It's just that chemistry, math, physics, we have that really earlier in the high school.
Oh, really?
So when we got to university, we already have knowledge about physics, math, all that kind of things. And the university just give you deep insights of everything. Mm. So how everything got to that little expression that you practice in physics. So the university, you get all that detail. So that's, we got a grade scale in there from 1 to 10 at university, public university. But the private ones, the scale is 1 to 20. So, well, yeah, basically 1 to 20.
So how do they necessarily score, like, from 1 to 10? So, like, for here, it's probably different because we use, like, percentages.
Yeah. I mean, I realized that it's kind of difficult when I got here. But I don't know if this answers your question, but we got the... it's basically the same, but when you got the points... they only tell you if you approve or you fail. I mean, 5 is the minimum, and 10, the maximum for approving. Under 4, 4.99, you're fine. So, it's that simple. But here, I realized that you have letters, A, B, C. I don't remember until I see D, I guess. And even with plus, A plus, C plus, what? So it was kind of, but it's, and at the end it's the same, that you had to get good grades.
Mm-hmm. So that, was that pretty easy to transfer over to?
No. We have to, if you want to get your grades converted to the US system, you have to pay for it. And I mean, it's kind of easy because you don't have to do it. There is a different organization that you pay for it, and they translate and they convert everything to the U.S. system. So, I don't know if tell you that it's easy or not. It's just you pay and you send your documents and that's it.
Does that process kind of take a little bit of time?
Yeah, sometimes it takes, they say that it takes 10 days or even more, but it's up to you. It depends on what you send If they need something else, they're going to send an email and ask you for more information. So if you have everything, it's really quick. I mean, I got mine almost 8 days. Mm-hmm. It was really, really quick. Mm-hmm. I thought that it would be more time.
Okay. Yeah, because I know processes like that, I just feel like sometimes they take longer than they should.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, they say that it would be more time, but as I told you, it's... if you are prepared with all your documents, it's easy.
Okay. What are some industries that are kind of common in, like, Venezuela? Is there, like, some that are more prominent that kind of stick out?
Venezuela is known by petroleum industry.
Petroleum?
Petroleum. So, we were, because we're not anymore. Not yet. The thing is that we were really good at petroleum industry. I mean, I think it's exploding. I mean, just taking out the petroleum and selling that one. We were recognized because of that. We were a rich country. I mean, we got a lot of production, but it changed 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, it started to change. Mm-hmm. Now it's, we are in a difficult situation, I mean, political and even cultural, I guess. And that was the main industry in our country, the petroleum. We have a different ones, but they were smaller. Now, not you as the petroleum, because we have everything based on petroleum. So we couldn't develop more all the things like telling you like rare, how do you call it? Rare, I mean, minerals for nuclear industry. We couldn't do that, even we have resources, I mean. But right now it's struggling. And that's a, we can have days talking about that. Mm-hmm. But the main one, answer your question, is the petroleum.
So you mentioned a kind of like political crisis, mm-hmm. in a way. So what's going on with that?
That's happening that we got a kind of communism. In 1999, we got a president in charge. He started to get communism ideas, and everything started to change because they take the private property was violated. I mean, no one could have any private property because they took off from you. I mean, if you're the owner, if you have 4 houses, they have to take 3 from you. And that's kind of, that's not good at all. Mm-hmm. And when you take that to every level, escalate to every level at a country, it's the same with the business, and it's the same with money, whatever you have. And it started to get worse until the point that you cannot how you say that, where you say something against the government. I mean, you can complain about anything.
You don't can have
protest.
Protest.
You cannot protest against them because they take you from your house or from wherever you are. They torture you. They take you to prison. They condemn you for a lot of years, or even killed you. It depends what you did. Mm. And that being for more than 10 years, that's been happening. And now the situation is critical because basically they realized that they accepted, because it was like that all these years, that the government were trafficking drugs. Mm-hmm. So all our economy depends now on a little bit of petroleum, but most of all the money is getting into the Venezuela is money from drugs. Mm-hmm. So now I don't know if you've seen the news, U.S. government is trying to take action on it. Mm-hmm. So there were a moment, we've been through different periods. There was a moment where we didn't have any food. I mean, we were struggling, it was difficult to get at least a meal a day. After that, they changed. I mean, they started to trafficking drugs in a higher level, and something changed because they started to put money into the government, and they try to fix the situation, and something changed economically, and we got more different. We changed our daily life. Later, the COVID, and after COVID, we had different things, and it was difficult to recover from COVID. Even when we didn't have a lot of deaths for COVID, we recovered, but it was slowly. I was at university at the moment, and as an example, everything stopped. I was doing my research, and we had to stop like 2 years, almost 3 years, waiting until all the systems adapt to the new system against COVID, or try to work with the COVID. And the thing is that it made things get worse, because everything slowed down, and now it's working differently. I mean, even, you know, that my country, my city where I come from, we're touristic. I mean, all the tourists go there because it's a really nice place during the day and the night. The night is a lot of parties. You could have found a different place for going to with your friends and that kind of things. And that industry almost stopped because nobody could have their business working. So they have to, they broke, I think it's in expression. So the only thing that I think you can do now as a tourist is going to the beach, but it's not, I mean, there were a lot of people that went to Venezuela and my city for tourism, that stopped too. So that's so, another industry that was killed by the government, by the communism. That's really bad at this point.
So is it kind of like, was kind of helping, like Venezuela was kind of like tourists coming, and then you also have the drug money, but then once you had COVID, that kind of cut out
the
tourist part. So it was just like, all you had was like kind of like drug money.
Yeah, when after COVID, everything got worse. And before that, it was worse, but not too much later. I was about to tell you, okay, another problem with the government, political situation, is the currency, the money, related to the money. We have different, we have dollars, American dollars, and our currency, that is bolivares. People is struggling with that too, but even the government is controlling that. So you can go to jail if they found that you've been changing bolivares, exchanging bolivares for dollars.
So if you try, so let's say you go to your neighbor and you're like, you know, I want this much American dollars, I'll give you however much Bolivia's cost, mm-hmm. You can get in trouble for that?
Yeah, you can get in trouble for that. And even you can go to jail. I don't know how much time could you get in jail for that, but you have to be careful. I mean, people there. If you're a tourist, maybe you won't have any problem, but you have to do it at official exchange house. I mean, like, the banks, I guess, they exchange. So, but the thing is that they wanted to exchange your dollars. I mean, $1 is like right now 300 bolivares, and they wanted to change that, or make your money, your dollars, value more, less than
200, I guess. So when you go in there and you want to exchange your money, it's, I mean, it doesn't worth. I mean, it's not worth it. You won't get little money for that. So people try to do it as a illegally, not with the banks, not with the government agency, and they pay more for it. But the cost is you can get in trouble, you can get in prison.
Do they track that pretty well, or just kind of like if something seems fishy, they'll look into it? Like if something seems like something's going on?
You mean what? Related to the exchange?
Yeah, related to the exchange. Like when that usually occurs, is it just like whenever they might have, like they make a purchase that kind of looks off. Like where did they kind of get that? Or like,
I mean, you say about the process how they do that?
Yeah, like how do they find people that do that? Is it other than like somebody just being like, oh, this is happening right here? Do they have kind of like a tracking system that they kind of keep an eye on?
There is a like a communist technique. There is a lot of people that work with the government. Mm-hmm. They get a benefit. It's just like a bag of food. And they sell people for that. I mean, it's just working like a little spice. Just in a community, and they act like a snitch. They just see you and they call the police, hey, because they have the contact to the with the government. They say, hey, Jaden is selling dollars for money, for our currency, for Bolivars. So it's a pretty bad thing. And that's basically how they can track the people and try to get them in prison.
So they kind of have like their fingers dipped in certain spots?
Yeah, exactly. They create a kind of things like it's like a little spot in the community that is connected directly to the government. So if they need something from that community, information or any data, they just look at that community and to that point, I mean, that building is like an office, and they have all everything from the community. If you need anything, you have to go there and ask, hey, I want to move to that place, I need a letter. And they have to sign. I mean, you're moving from this place to another. I mean, every country has that, but it's not just for getting you into prison purposes. It's just to know that you move from Florida to Oklahoma. That's it. It's just to know that you're in Oklahoma now. But these people is just getting that information just for, in any case, they can check. Hey, why you move? And if you move, what's happening with your house? That house that you left there, if it is empty, they can take the house and give it to someone else.
So you can't really own multiple houses because they're just like, well,
they know, and they will tell you, hey, that house is empty. So I have some friends that they don't have house, we're gonna give them. That's pretty bad. I mean, I got really mad. I mean, that's some people have to like register your house to your name or my name, but with family. So now I'm living there, but it's not, I mean, it's kind of difficult. Even your car, or they know about you. You know, if you have a lot of things, you should be working with the government in order to get your things untouchable. Otherwise, they will take it from you. And a lot of people move from Venezuela because of that.
So, to them, everything is kind of like theirs. They just
they're
just allowing you to have it.
It happened a lot of with people that were people from they have how do you call it? The crops
when they farmers.
They a lot of farmers lost their properties because they wanted to take their lands and increase the productivity, but it was not what happened. I mean, they just take from them and never produce anything. So we have to import almost everything we eat, and we eat in Venezuela.
So with them taking the property away from the farmers, is that what kind of led to like you guys not having a lot of food?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you are a farmer owner, I tell you, hey Jaden, but you're not producing anything. Yeah, the thing is that you haven't given me money. You need money for investing your land. I mean, to the seeds, the fertilizer, and all whatever you need, the equipment, machinery, that the government didn't help you. And you don't have money for that scale. I mean, it's really big land. So their excuse is just to take your land and they will start to produce, but even there, we're stealing money from it, and they didn't start to produce. So the farmer lost their lands, and the government owned their lands and wasted the money in other things. So the economy is going down because it's not working. I mean, that's not healthy for the government or the country. So that's basically the political situation. I can tell you about the health, it's the same. Health system is free, but it's not working. It is supposed to be working. There's no consumables. The things that you use for help people, I mean, needles, bandages. Not even medicine. Right now there is medicine, but a couple time ago, it was really hard. And even it's hard right now because if you have a really bad health problem, you can afford it. I mean, you can pay for it because you have to buy medicine, all the, even almost the equipment for doing whatever you need. So the health system is compromised and it's pretty bad too.
Sounds rough.
Yeah, it's rough. But you can if you have the money, you can go to the private property. I mean, the private that is still there. They work with the government. Hey, don't touch my things. But I can, in a certain way, the owner of the private property is working with the government. So their things are untouchable, and then they won't take them from them. So that's the way it's still currently working.
Mm. It's just the fact of getting that money and then also becoming part of that company and like basically creating ties with the government.
Yeah. I mean, the way that it works is as communism in general. The owner of one of the private companies for help in Venezuela is working with the government. The same happened with the food or the, like Walmart, as an example. There is a chain, I mean, of that kind of supermarkets, but the same owner is the government's personnel. I mean, he's working with the government. And if you realize all those things that is private,
they don't have any problem with the government because they work in the same world and they get money from the government too. So they steal money. I mean, if I am working with the government in any sector, it doesn't matter. Education, health, energy. I take money and I put it into my properties, into my business. And nobody will tell anything. I mean, because I'm working with them. Mm-hmm. That's the way. And the other people that need money for investing, for getting their own business, they can't because they're not working with the government. And also, I need you to be poor. I mean, I need you to be down there. You can do things, so it's better that way. That's the thing they think. And that's basically the truth. A lot of people, they don't want to talk about that, but I mean, it's a fact. It's happening right now. Mm-hmm. I have family there, and I know how it works. And that's basically, I mean, talking about the politics, that's what happened.
So I didn't mean to go on for like 20 minutes about politics.
Yeah, basically, we were talking a lot about that. That's the main reason a lot of Venezuelan people is leaving the country, because we can't do that anymore. We don't have the resources. We don't have any chance to get a life, normal life. Mm-hmm. Even if you're graduated, you have high school, I got my degree in engineering. I couldn't even work there because there's no chance. There's no opportunity. There's no companies. There's no. No. I mean, if you want to work with the petroleum industry, you can't, because they don't pay you. I mean, it's like an engineer graduated for whatever university you choose is earning $2,000 a month, and I know that here an engineer or doctor gets a really good money, I mean a month, an income. But in Venezuela it's not the same. Even that is compromised. So most of the people get their degrees like me and they move to another country.
So have you thought about chasing after like engineering, like to get a degree in the United States?
Yeah, of course. I mean, right now I'm trying to get all my documents for trying to get a master degree, but I'm working on it because I need English first and take some tests and apply. That's the difference of this system. And because I'm an immigrant, so I have to do some different things. Mm-hmm. In my country, it's just applying and started to make my take my classes of master degree. But here, at least you have the chance, but you have to pay. But I prefer that than being. I know a lot of people that is PhD in engineering, even medicine, and they don't care. They get $500 a month. It's too much. That's a difficult situation. So it's not worth it over there. But I started, as I told you, I started to feel like I would like to get other goals here. Because you are different stages. When you are an immigrant and you move to another country, you have different stages, needs. When you arrive, you just want to learn the language, because here, of course, you can find people that speak English, Spanish, but most of the system is in English, so I have to learn English. After that, you have to work.
you need some money, because when you come to your country, you don't have enough money. So you have to save some money, start to get an apartment, a car, because car is really important, at least here in Oklahoma. And we have more time for a teacher?
Okay.
It's
1:30.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. All right. We can ask one more question.
Okay.
So I was just confused about, like, the prominent religion in your guys' area.
Religion?
Yeah, because so from what I saw from, like, the certain sector that you were talking about, like, kind of like the state of Venezuela, it said Maria Leonza.
Oh, Maria Leonza.
Yeah.
Maria Leonza is a spiritual guidance guide. It's kind of difficult to explain that because it's not too common here in the United States. We have a Catholic church and they believe in same people.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Catholicism?
Nah, exactly. But it's the Maria, the mother of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But they believe that the figures, the cross, they have power. Mm-hmm. But they believe also in certain entities that they become like magical, or they have spiritual power from God. Mm-hmm. So Maria Leonza got that from, that blessed from God. So they say that she was a spirit, something like that, that healed people, that take care of the natural places, animals, that kind of things. Mm-hmm. So they believe they can ask favors to Maria Leonza and get something from her. Okay. Like protection, like money, that kind of things, just for like a promise to her. So that's a it's not to every state, it's just a couple states that think that the most, because she's from western part of the Venezuela and the central part too. So they believe really a lot of in her. But okay. I don't have too much connection. I mean, I believe in Catholicism. And yeah, I see God. And it's okay, but that kind of things are another branch that is really, really, really weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
All right. So I think, just to end it off, do you have like any hobbies? That's something you kind of do in your own free time? I know you're probably spending a lot of time learning.
When I'm here, when I'm in my free time, normally, I really like to work on software. I mean, I've been practicing and getting hands-on. SolidWorks is a system that you can use for designing. Mm-hmm. That's related to my career and my profession. And I do that. But right now, the biggest hobby I have is learning English. I read a lot during the day, English books. And I really like to practice that because I need it. Also, my free time, weekends, hobby, I play soccer. And every day I lift weights at the gym. So that's not right now the hobbies I have.
Okay.
That's pretty much
it.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for talking with me today.
No, yeah.
And I appreciate everything you said and that you shared. It was really interesting.
Yeah, there is a lot of more things, so, but we don't have enough time, so, but it's great.